Oh my, everybody up on this roof, that they're all off the roof. I am on the roof of Explosion 4. Got fire through the roof of the fire, knowing the entire rear section.
Now, remember, given the mayday, has he been accounted for? Okay.
610B, that was the mayday. 610B.
I'm here. We got a fire. 1.5-story, single-family dwelling. Fire shown from the second floor. Give me a second alarm on this.
See up to the top floor. I got people hanging out the top floor windows with a baby.
Commercial building. A lot of fire, a lot of smoke. Go ahead and strike a third alarm on my orders on this.
I got people on the front fire escape here with windows vented below them. We need somebody up there.
Yeah, let them know we got a job. I'm pulling up now. Second alarm, I got a 1-story single family frame, heavy fire showing from the attic.
So we're using all hands. We got one line stretched, fire on the fourth floor, second line being stretched, primary searches are underway.
Hey, welcome back to our fire engineering podcast, The Command Post. I'm Chief Rick Lasky, along with my best buddy, Chief John Salka, and we've got another good one lined up for you today. John, we've been rescheduling with the whole pandemic thing. I know you've been rescheduling. I rescheduled. We've had to reschedule a lot of our programs, obviously, like a lot of people. But, it's been kind of fun because I've been doing a lot of these virtual, like we're doing now with our Zoom. I did one last night, and a lot of people using obviously a different means, of getting the word out and training and old discussions and stuff. And it's actually been working pretty good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, listen, it's something, you already said it, it's something everybody in the whole world is facing, not just in the fire service, not just in training, but, it's every platform, every industry, everybody's got to be doing some rescheduling or canceling or closing and reopening. And my gosh, it's pretty complex. We're actually pretty fortunate to be in a pretty simple situation where people realize they're not going to have it because of the audience or because of the local regulations or travel limitations. And we just pick a date in the future. We make a couple of phone calls. We cancel it or postpone it, and we're done. Imagine the people that are building buildings and all sorts of other really complex endeavors. Much more difficult.
Oh, my God. It's just the challenges. I know we've got another show lined up regarding, delivering training to your own people and so on and so forth and that. But right now it's like anything else, John, you've said it 1,000 times, fire service is an amazing entity, amazing group of people. We face challenges since Ben Franklin put this whole thing together, and we overcome. Yeah, that's the coolest thing about firefighters. There's really nothing. You don't see them whining and complaining. Oh my God. Where they go, okay, well, we can't do that. How are we going to do this? And they find a way and they make it happen, which is pretty cool.
Absolutely. Yep.
We've been rescheduling our company officer academies and our chief officer field training academies for the shift commanders, the BCs and them. And, for our folks out there, for any of the classes John and I do together, you can go to my prideandownership.com website and go to the calendar of events and you'll find them there. Plus we post them on Facebook and everywhere else, when we're doing class together, especially the CSU one. So those will be there. FDIC is planned. Obviously everyone knows they canceled it for this year, which they had to. Nobody wanted to do that, but it was the right thing to do. And so that's all set for next April. And then John and I will be at Fire Engineering's United Fire Conference in September. And Indy, we're doing a smaller version. A lot of what's going on is going to be discussed and talked about. Plus some other programs and topics with about 50 instructors instead of, the big venue they normally do. So, take a look at that. United Fire Conference, go to Fire Engineering's website. It's going to be pretty cool. So if you get a chance, September 22nd through the 24th of 2020, come on out and have some fun. It's pretty reasonable. They're splitting the proceeds, I think, John, between the National Fall Firefighters and the Tunnels, the Tower. I know that's one of your favorites. The Tunnels, the Tower has been taking care of firefighters and police officers and military families after their loved ones are taken from. It's pretty freaking incredible group. I've contributed to it. It's a great fund with some great people, but kind of excited about that. So, hey, buddy, we had an email. Actually, there's been a couple. We had an email from a firefighter that wanted us to talk about, run through the topic of more or less motivating the troops, you know, the morale boosters versus the morale killers in both your volunteer firehouse, John, and the career firehouse. And, you know, we've talked about that before. There's so many people that I know there's bullies and thugs out there, but there's so many people that I don't think they have a clue how to engage, how to hold a conversation, unfortunately, how to get their people motivated. You and I have talked about it. I don't care who you are. Everybody was scared the first day they walked in a firehouse. I've met very few people that walked in and just were, I was nervous. I was scared. I mean, I grew up in a firehouse, my old man, but I was still nervous and scared when I walked in. And the last thing I needed was a high school senior picking on me because I was a freshman kind of thing, John. And I think we've come a long ways with that in a lot of places, but I think in some places they're still lacking on motivating the people instead of demotivating. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And you know what I sort of, not discovered, but maybe I just noticed it. You know, when you're on, you know, Facebook or Twitter or wherever you are, you know, you see a lot of these great posts about, oh, you know, today is Lieutenant Chesney's last day. Today is, you know, Chief Dunn's last day, and what a great guy he was. Huh? Yeah. And then people start telling stories about, oh, what a great officer he was when I first got here. You know, I was a little, you know, lax. I was a little light on, you know, street knowledge, and I didn't have any fire experience. But my lieutenant really, you know, wrapped his arms around us. He was tough. He was difficult. We had a drill all the time. If you weren't doing something right, man, you knew about it. But and I think all these praises and all these accolades that these people get from, you know, when they retire, from guys now that have 10 or 15 years on the job saying, oh, 15 years ago when I first got here, those are great tributes to people that do know how to, that do know how to motivate their people and do know how to get them to do the right thing. And I don't want people to confuse good guys and guys that are respected and guys that are liked with guys that are easy and guys that are pushovers, you know.
Right.
Anybody can get a job anywhere, whether it's in an airplane factory or whether it's in a fire department or a bakery. Anybody can get a job and be nice to everybody and give them time to come in late and not do stuff right a couple of times, and everybody's going to love them. But there's some special guys and gals out there. There's some special people, and not just in the fire service, but everywhere, that can be, they can be, what's the word? You know, open to suggestions. They're approachable, but they're tough, and they have standards, and they hold the line on things that are important. And particularly in the work that we do, as you and everybody who's listening knows, the work we do is important. Some of it is less dramatic than others, but most of the work we do is important, whether it's climbing down in a sewer to lift up a kitten that fell down, been down there for 2 days crying, or whether it's, you know, maybe doing a first aid call on somebody, maybe a serious MVA extrication, now getting into equipment and techniques or fighting a fire, which is some of the most dangerous and technically challenging stuff that we do. There is a right way to do it. There are maybe several right ways, right methods, but, you know, you have to be able to treat people properly and get them to love what they're doing. And when people like what they're doing, then they want to do it right. And then things just fall into place.
Well, and you said something about being, you know, they're approachable. I know we've talked about this a ton of times that, and I know you always follow this up by saying, you know, the good boss, the good leader is approachable, but they're also open-minded. There's a lot of people that are approachable, but they're not open-minded. And it doesn't mean, like you said, that you have to give away the store and rub everybody's shoulders and be warm and fuzzy. And you can still be that, you know, that kind of tough boss when someone starts it, because this is the fire service. This is, you know, we're not delivering, no disrespect, we're not delivering pizzas. This is the fire service. But like you said, there's so many places where there's great bosses and great leaders. And I just don't know. I think a lot of it, John, is we don't train people. We train them in tactics and strategy. We train them in EMS. We train them in extra gear, all that stuff, you know, the hands-on things. But the reason our company officer classes, John, and chief officer classes are so popular, I think, not because of us. I think it's the content. I don't think people are doing enough out there to prepare people. So what you end up is, you end up with the morale killers, you know, instead of, and let's not forget that those senior firefighters, we're talking lieutenants, captains, and chiefs, but those senior firefighters are so critical. You know, I think that sometimes, John, the best morale booster, the best motivator, sometimes isn't necessarily the lieutenant or the captain that you greet that says, hey, John, you're the new firefighter here. Let me blah, 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 blah. Like we said, they do that first talk and they go, okay, because it's drill night, right? Or drill night, I'm going to kick you loose with Tommy Flanagan or Cindy O'Neill. They're going to show you how to do things. Or, you know, on the career side, same thing. I'm going to kick you loose with them. The senior firefighter, I think, has the greatest impact on the morale. You know, they're the ones that can shut down the bullies, you know, right? We've talked about it. Senior firefighter turn around and say, hey, really? Come here. We don't do that stuff here. You know, I wish more people would stand up to those kinds of things. And now, again, not that we're creating this kumbaya, hold hands atmosphere, but, you know, it's tough enough coming into the firehouse and becoming a firefighter. And you've said it for years, the very first thing they want to do, new firefighters want to fit into the company, fit into your value place, or your career place. And the worst thing you do is beat them down and belittle them or whatever. You know, not to say that new guys and gals don't have to be told you need to listen, pay attention, don't talk as much, but you know, let's just talk. I mean, the senior firefighter, when it comes to the cranking the morale siren, the motivational siren, John, is huge, isn't it? That senior firefighter?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're so right. And of course, we didn't figure this out, but we noticed it like lots of other people noticed it, that the senior people, your senior firefighters are very important cog in the wheel of the firehouse, fire company. Not just the morale, but their effectiveness and their training routine and the spirit inside the firehouse and how things get done. You know, we've said a million times, you walk into a firehouse, it's nice and clean. Even if some of the equipment is old and battered down a little bit, but the place is clean, you know you already got a good structure in there. You got a good command structure. You get some good mentors. You got some good leaders. And as far as the senior firefighters, sometimes they end up having some of the best leadership skills because they're not getting dragged down in some of the other chores that maybe first line supervisors or lieutenants or captains or ordinary officers might get dragged down with a little bit. Now, I know it's all part of your job and you got to deal with it. Otherwise, yeah. But the point is, you know, they got paperwork to do and they get reports. They get the chief calling up three times in the morning looking for something that they didn't do the last shift. And sometimes that could affect their effectiveness that day, maybe with the new younger members or whether they're going to have an effective drill. But a senior firefighter is living in that same world every day. And he is in a pretty stable place. And most of them, because they're senior, they have experience. Because they're senior, they've been well-trained. Because they're senior, they're familiar with the firehouse and the routine and the equipment. So what better person to be a leader in a leadership role and motivate people to want to be there and get the job done? I remember a couple of times when I wasn't quite, not that I wasn't in the mood, but I'd grab the senior man and say, hey, Willie, listen. I am just bogged down. I got to get that report done on the zoo training, and I got to get the monthlies done today. Do me a favor, just get the two probies down on the apparatus floor, grab something, and go over it with them. And you know, oh, no problem, Cap. And also, so there I am passing along my responsibility of training, you know, to one of my senior people because I knew he was able and he was capable and he was willing and he was going to do a good job at it. You know.
Well, and I know Willie Tracy. We've talked about him a ton of times, both on this show and in classes about. What a great, great, did I say great firefighter? You know, great, just 100, I mean, every hitting on all the cylinders, if you will. Not just great when the bell goes off, but great all the time. You know, I'm sitting here thinking of Louisville, you know, the John Copelands I've talked about, the Gary Apples, the Jeremy Joneses, those guys that you knew who you wanted to stick your new firefighters with, that someone that wasn't going, because we've seen these new, right? How many times have we seen new firefighters? They're all full of piss and vinegar. You know, you worked over three decades with New York City and you've been in the fire service well over 40 years. You're a chief of your volunteer department. You see these new guys come in, these new guys and gals, they're all excited. And they're like, oh, I can't believe I'm finally on. I finally got out of South Blooming Grove, or I finally got on the FD1. And then a year later, you see them, and they're just like, shit, man. They're off on their phone. They're doing stuff. It's like someone that doesn't know how to train a dog, a puppy. You know, the puppy's all happy. And then a year later, you see this thing just laying around because it's been beat on so much, you know, both mentally and physically. So I guess my question is, whether it's at the career side, FDNY all those years, or at your volunteer place, What are you expecting from the Willie Tracys out there? You got a new firefighter, got a new guy and gal, Cindy and Tom. You walk in, they send them to your 45 engine, or they send them to South Blooming Grove. You know, they send them. You know, you guys.
Right.
What do you expect in Willie Tracy? We'll use him because he's a great example. You know, to stimulate, you know, to motivate him, to keep him fired up, you know, and to kind of welcome him into the company. But give me some of the steps you're expecting him to do. What would you expect him to do with that new guy or gal?
Well, what's great about new people right from the start is that they come, like you just mentioned, they come pre-charged with excitement, right, and willingness to do stuff because they're just so happy about being there. So that there's a plus right there. How you can ruin that, I don't know. The guy is practically falling all over himself, asking for attention, asking for training, asking for explanations. So the fact that new people come in and they're ready and willing and excited about being there makes it a little bit easier. Number two, whether it's a real senior guy like Willie Tracy, or maybe it's just a senior guy on your shifts, which could be the fellow with 5 years, right?
Right.
Senior man doesn't have to be a guy with decades. It could be a guy with 5 years and the other two people are 2 years, right?
Exactly.
You want him to take a leadership role. And now that's asking a lot because it doesn't say leadership anywhere on their job description. You know, they weren't hired to be a leader. They were hired to be a firefighter. But you and I both know, again, in every industry in the world, not just in the fire service, senior firefighters, senior police officers, senior field traffic agents, senior engineers in a, you know, company, they do take part in breaking in new people and tell them, here's how we do things around here. I don't know what you did in school. You know, I don't know what you got at Fordham University when you got your degree, but here's how we do it here. Or I don't know what you did in Firefighter One, but we do things a little bit here. Or I don't know what you got in the big fire department that you left when you came here, but here's how we do things here. So you can explain the local way you're doing things and who the people are. I think who the people are is very important. It's not just you're a firefighter, I'm a senior firefighter, there's the fire engine, I'm going to show you how to use a nozzle. I think personal relationships are important too. And that's what's great about the firehouse, let's say the fire department or the fire service versus, let's say, the police department. Police department, they kick you out, maybe you got a field training officer, you're riding around with one other cop, and you're getting one perspective on everything. Right. Now, if they rotate you around and get a couple of guys, then maybe you'll get a little perspective from somebody else. But in a firehouse, like in my job, a new probie arrives the first day, he gets about 8 guys talking in his ear for an hour or two that first day. And everybody gives a little perspective on things. And actually, you can get a couple of varying perspectives on coming in late or talking or getting off the rig or wearing your mask. And so suddenly the personalities become important too. And I found that to be, you know, advantageous. There's guys that I don't. There's guys when I was a captain that I, not that I restricted them or didn't allow them to, but I really didn't push them very early to go and start talking to the probie. I'd tell them, hey, Frankie, we'll talk to him today. You'll get your chance, okay? Because I know Frankie was a little rougher around the edges and
right.
might scare a young kid off, or, you know. So you have to manage that as well. It's all part of the deal of being an officer. Even though you might not actually be doing it, you might be turning your senior firefighter onto a new guy to help train him, but you got to make sure you put the right people with the right people.
Well, and here's something you made me think of is when, you know, we've talked about this, on duty, you know, insured with Louisville, when our chief's aides came out to ride out with you to, you know, to see how it's done. And again, we had it all approved and Louisville, they were on the clock, you know, kind of like they're at the FDNY at a class, you know. And I remember Dean Felposh, very, 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 very good firefighter and excellent captain currently with Louisville, Texas. But I remember Dean calling me, John. You've heard me tell a story a bunch of times in between the 48-hour shift. And I said, how's it going? He's, oh, God, we were, you know, running calls at Chief South all night, so on and so forth, and blah, 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 blah. And, he, you know, we talked about it. And he says, you know, one of the things he pointed out, John, was he goes, I'm kind of ashamed of how we treat our rookies in Louisville. And I said, really? I knew where he was going with this ahead of time because I had told him on the way out there, I go, you guys are really going to experience this whole brother-sister thing. You're going to really – and they were a little offended. You know, they were a little like, well, wait a minute. We understand the whole brotherhood thing. And I'm like, no, I'm not saying you don't. There's just a different spin on it when you get to, you know, some of the more traditional departments like New York or Chicago, whatever. And he says, you know, he goes, Chief, I'm ashamed of how we're treating our rookies. And when I said, really? I said, well, he goes, you know, they don't yell at them here. they don't yell at him. They don't beat him. You know, down. He goes, you know, they don't call him names like, you know, come here, boot, and all this stuff. He goes, they don't even let him pay for their lunch and dinner. I'm like, well, that's because they're not making a whole lot of money until they get off probation. He goes, no. He goes, they come in, the different firefighters fight over him. Like the first guy, I get him first. And they get to show him their whole, like, specialty area. And then they pass him off to another fire. Says, come here, I got you next. And let me show you this. Let me show you that. And I saw how you guys, I know you've said it before, the FDNY, that's your heritage, isn't a perfect fire department, but they do a lot of stuff right, man. And, you know, I saw that change Dean. Dean's always been an outstanding firefighter and now an outstanding officer, but it changed how he looked at things. And he came back and it changed the people around him because he no longer put up with the whole name calling, beating down, belittling of the new guys. The motive, like I said, the morale killers. He became that much better of a motivator for the new people, the kind, John, that people want to work for. You know, we've talked about Gary Apple as well, and now Dean Felposh, that, you know, young firefighters will actually hear, they'll go, who are you going to work with? Well, I'm working for Captain Gary Apple or Captain Dean. Oh, God, man, I'm so jealous. Those guys are awesome, you know. And that was a lesson he took from observing your guys mentor, motivate, stimulate, and increase that morale. And the other story I want to go, let's change it from the career side to the volley place. I think you may have heard me tell this story before. I was teaching John, and it was a volunteer fire department. It's on a weekend, on a Saturday, and they catch a run. So out they go. Poof, they go to the run, and they get back. And right before we take in a break, right before we get started, I'm cutting across the apparatus floor heading to the men's room, right? And I'm going to take a pee break real quick. And as I'm walking between the tailboard of an engine and the engine behind it, the rig, there's a captain talking to a new firefighter. And I'm kind of doing one of those holding my hand up like I don't want to listen to what they're saying because if he's being scolded or reprimanded or counseled or whatever, you know, that kind of thing, all right? So that you know, that being said, I'm walking by, and this is what I hear, John. I hear this captain say to this other volunteer, what are you doing Tuesday night about 7:30? And then the young firefighter says, well, nothing. He goes, good, meet me up here. There's usually no one here on Tuesdays at 7:30 night. Meet me up here at 7:30. You and I are going to work on our SCBAs together. So I waited. It was like lunchtime later, and I got him on the side. I said, okay, I wasn't eavesdropping, but I heard this. I got to ask you, between you and I, what was that? He goes, we were on this call, and he got off the rig, and his shoulder strap was all spun around and tangled, and he couldn't snap his waist strap. And he's a new guy. He was having a tough time, and, you know, there's a few people here that can really kind of pound on you for that. Instead of telling you, look, you're doing like the Backdraft movie, you're doing it wrong, they can beat up on you. He goes, no, you know what? There's nobody up here. We're going to do our Donnie Doffy drills together on Tuesday. And I went, John, I went, oh, my God. I wanted to work for that guy. I'm like, I don't care. I don't care if he owns a pizza parlor. That's the guy I want to work for, because instead of going, Lasky, you dumbass, look at this. You're not, he's like, no, come here. You know what? You and I together, when there's no one around, we're going to work on this. I guess that's the kind of motivation. That's the kind of morale booster, builder, that I want to be around. And right, you've brag on your guys at South Blooming Grove, and you brag on your FDOI buddies, guys that worked for you and with you. There's so many people in our careers you've seen do just that. Motivate, stimulate. And what they do, like what your guys did for Dean, because Dean's a great guy, it was like this lesson, poof, this book dropped on his head of, hey, here's the book on how to treat people. I know these old guys. Real quick, Emily, when she was playing softball in high school, when she was a freshman, the seniors pounded on the freshmen, and she hated it. I said, so when you get to be a senior and you're the team captain, or shared it with Selena, I said, what are you going to do? She said, I'm not going to treat them like that. Look, they're going to carry the balls. They're going to sweep the dugouts out and do the freshman stuff, but I'm not going to. And she didn't. And you know, and I just liked that. I saw that evolution of let's get rid of the 1950s bullying, beaten down, name calling, stereotype of thing, and let's motivate and train people, John, you know?
Yeah. And as I mentioned in an article I wrote last year sometime, it was a leadership, it was an officer type article, but it was about this topic. There's different levels of leadership and there's different directions. I mean, leadership isn't a one-way street. It's not even a two-way street. You know, dealing with people, motivating people, getting people to love what they do, training people. It goes up, it goes down, it goes sideways. So obviously, sometimes officers are helping other officers do something. Sometimes your boss is asking you to do something. Sometimes your young firefighters are asking you for some training or some guidance or some instruction or some corrective action. Gosh, there's so many variables that you got to get familiar with. And you don't have to be an expert on every method of teaching or every method of motivating people, but you should know a good number of ways to do it, because then for the different people that you encounter or the different situations you're in, you can select the best method that might work that day. Every lieutenant doesn't discipline, doesn't train, doesn't motivate every single firefighter exactly the same way. It's Lieutenant Rick Lasky and firefighter John Salka.
Well, and thank God they don't, right? I mean, imagine if they were all just the same? I didn't mean to interrupt you, but the learning experience would be
right, because we've met those guys. You know, you hear about it, you watch it on the movies when you watch Marines and cops and stuff like that. Some guys are just, I don't want to call them dumb like a hammer. Some guys just know what they want to do, and that's what they want to do, and they want you to tell them what to do. But other guys say, well, gee, why is that? You think if we did it this way, maybe it would work a little bit better? Now, some officers don't like being asked, gee, why are we doing it that way? And some officers do like it. Some officers are like, gee, I never thought of that, Tommy. That's a great idea. Let's ask Will and see what he says. He's been around here a long time. Suddenly you generate an interesting maybe lunch table discussion because a young Proby said, hey, Cap, why are we doing that? Why don't we have a short piece of hose? Why don't we have your story? Why don't we have 100-foot length on the first, you know, the first lead length? Why isn't it 100 instead of 50? We get rid of that coupling and stop getting jammed up on doorsteps and front doors and car tires. And a lot of these things came right out of the lips, out of the mouth of a probie, of a guy that was brand new that couldn't spell fire department yet. Now, some bosses are welcome to that. Like, your officer brought this probie to you with that hose idea, correct?
Oh, yeah, right.
So there was an officer that said, hey, what a great idea. Let's go talk to the chief about it. You know there's an officer somewhere in your fire department that would have said, hey, Billy, you know what? Why don't you concentrate on getting your SCBA and getting your faith piece on right now? We'll worry about the hose, okay? And it doesn't have to be a negative thing, but it could have sort of blew him off a little bit and said, listen, why don't you pay attention to stuff we're giving you to do? Didn't we give you a new training notebook? Why don't you read those chapters first and then we'll worry about the hose, okay? So everybody deals with things differently, and thank God for that. The fact that's why you do interviews. That's why you select different people for promotion, because you're building a fire department brick by brick, step by step, getting people to be into what they're doing.
Well, exactly. And why would you want to curb that enthusiasm anyway? I guess I know there's some guys that are just, it's just a job to them on the career side. And there's some volleys that they're just there for the t-shirt. But I really think that's about a skosh of what's really, you know, out there. I think the majority of the new firefighters, the vast majority, you know, they're excited about it. They're, you know, they're into it. They want, you know, this is their, it's been their dream for some of them, or someone just stumbled into it. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this. But why would you, I guess my thing, why would you want to curb that enthusiasm? Like I said, we've mentioned it earlier about, you know, you see these new firefighters when they interview, whatever, and they're all full of piss and vinegar and ready to go. And then a year later, this place sucks. And the first thing I think of, John, is, all right, who you been hanging with, you know? So I think the goal should be, you know, for us to kind of, I mean, figure out how to keep your people motivated. You know, I think I don't want to get too far away from a point you made earlier, which I thought was awesome, and I don't want to let it escape us, is sometimes you need to start them off with certain people and hold off from being around certain people, you know? I mean, start them off with the Garys and, the, you know, Gary Apples and the Dean Felposhes and the Jeremy Joneses and those people, you know, start them off with them, and then you can move, you know, the Seth Taylors, another great guy, the John Copelands. Oh, my God, Cope is incredible. You know, start them off with them, and then maybe you want to get to someone who's maybe, like you said, a little bit more gruff, you know, a little bit more stern with things, is, you know, ease them into it. Again, we're not rubbing shoulders here. This is the fire service. We're not trying to play into generational stuff, because both of you and I agree, stop with the generation blaming. How about we just train people for people, because there's been idiots in all generations, you know, that kind of thing. But I think part of that is a planning by you, like the boss going, you know, I'm gonna send her to and him to Timmy first, and then Jeremy, and then Cindy, and then I'm gonna get him to Tommy, because Tommy's pretty, you know.
I remember when I was a captain of 48 engine, we got a lot of probies when I was there. Frankie and the rest of them. Boy, I can name maybe not two dozen, but easily a dozen guys, probies that I got there, that 48 got while I was the captain. And I remember having to decide, well, I mean, when you only get one once in a while, they almost certainly go with the captain because the captain's the boss. You know, NFTNY, right. We get one shift as a captain, the other three are lieutenants. All the same, run by different bosses. But if you only get one probie every 3 years, he probably goes right into the captain's group, and the captain gets to mold him and talk to him and shape him, and he gets to work with the captain's guys who are all there because the captain wants them, right?
Right.
But when you start getting 6, 7, 8, 10 probies over the course of a year, all of a sudden I had to decide, who's this guy going to? Oh, he's going to go with Billy Schultz, or he's going to go with George Carlin. And I would send the probies to the other groups where my lieutenants were and, you know, pick the lieutenant that I thought would be the best with the new probie, you know. And that was a difficult decision as well because everybody had different skills and abilities and different methods and ways of doing things. And some guys are a little more blunt and a little more old-fashioned and a little more short, not short-tempered, but short in their descriptive terms of stuff. And other guys were a little bit more talkative, and you could sort of match people up.
Exactly. And I thought that was such a great point you made earlier that I didn't want to slip by, because it's like, you know, it's all about strategy. It's all about leadership. It's all about making sure you pull the switches at the right time, you know, and make sure things work so you can start them off on their way. So, I mean, hey, great topic, and we appreciate a couple of the guys and gals out there that suggested us kind of just talk a little bit about motivating the troops and the morale boosters versus the morale killers. You know, I guess, John, if we close things out here, my thoughts are, I think the key is picking the right people, kind of how you want and who you want to start off with that new guy or gal to kind of bring them into the fold, welcome them. I guess my one of my biggest points is do not kill or curb the enthusiasm, man. You got this new young guy or gal that's so freaking ready, and they've watched everything on TV, and they've read this stuff, and they remember you coming through their schools with their kids, and now the dream has come true. They're a volunteer firefighter, or they're a career firefighter. Man, oh, man, don't kill that. I'm not saying don't counsel them, don't coach them, don't kind of tell them the goods and all, you know, kind of correct them. But, oh, my God, don't beat down on them. 1950 was a long time ago, and the bullies and thugs need to go away. And we need more morale builders than morale killers. You know, we need more
people. And relationship builders, you know what I'm saying? Right.
And think about it. You and I did a show on our just a few of our mentors. A lot of those people started out as that, come here, probationary firefighter Salka, you know, Sammy. And you've remembered them today like you did 40 years ago, like you're walking up because they had an impact on your life. They helped mold you for who you are. We've said it before. None of us have gotten to where we're at without the help of other people.
Absolutely.
Some of us have remembered the idiots and assholes along the way. You know, few and far between, but we've remembered those special people who have made a difference in our lives. So anything in closing thoughts, buddy?
No, other than it's just, you know, the fire service really is, and from this perspective, it really is a people job. It's the relationships that everybody establishes from firefighter to lieutenant, from lieutenant to captain, and captain down to the firefighters that they work with, and up to the chief, the different levels that we all operate in. It's really the better you get along with people and the more skills you have, the better boss you're going to be, the better leader you're going to be, the better mentor you're going to be, the better teacher you're going to be.
Exactly. All right, buddy. Hey, we're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. You've got your website, johnsalka.com. I've got prideandownership.com. They want to get a hold of you on email. What's the best email for you?
ChiefJohnSalka@gmail.com.
And I'm at ChiefLasky@gmail.com. Folks, we appreciate you tuning in again. We love doing our command post show of fire engineering, this podcast. We've been doing it for a long time. Lots of great shows here just about every night. And they're always in the archives. You can go back and listen to any of them. Great opportunity, especially right now with limited resources for training. You got all this stuff, all these shows, the hump day hangouts, everything on fireengineering.com. You can go to have your people listen in, whether at home or in their car or working out or whatever. A lot of great stuff. So, hey, in closing, John and I always ask you to please keep the men and women serving armed forces in your thoughts and prayers. And right now, as well as our brothers and sisters and our law enforcement family, faces some very serious challenges. And remember, please remember, never forgetting means never forgetting. Be safe. God bless you. And thanks for tuning in.